Yeah. I don't think I ever requested that from Gene, and I will need it for notes.
Okay. I will make a note. And I will get that to you. According to her, that.
Okay. All right. We are all set, then.
All right. Well, I guess I will do my best moderator impersonation here. So the main point of the call today is to make sure that we're all in the same place for logistics of carrying out the survey, or carrying out the whole project, actually, for the semester. So maybe we should start with the survey. I think we talked a little bit about that at the end of the last call, or two calls ago. So do we have the survey ready to go? In terms of
I think we decided which questions that we were doing. We were doing our six basic ones, and we added the ones we voted on.
Okay. And that is located
so
where?
There are 18 questions total, I think, now.
Okay.
In the documents.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we also had demographic questions like gender, age, and major.
All right. So the actual written part of the survey is pretty good to go. That's all fine.
Right. And then are we each going to be able to do that the first, basically the first, like, class period or first week or two of classes?
Yeah, if I remember.
I'm going to do it Friday, the first week, was sort of my thought.
Okay. Yeah, there was a little bit of a discussion of students coming in and out of the class and drops and that sort of thing. Did we want to worry about that at all? I seem to remember that was a discussion we had last time, or a couple times ago. I don't know if we ever reached a consensus on if we wanted to worry about that.
Does everybody know what their add date is?
You know, I asked the question, you would think I would know, but...
I know when ours is, but I was looking at doing mine at the end of the first week instead of the end of the second week, primarily because otherwise I'm already on normal distributions by the end of the second week. I'm already actually past all my intro stuff about sampling.
Right.
I seem to think mine's in the first week as well, too, like the first Friday. So all the students that are going to add should be in by the end of the first week.
Yeah.
Same with mine.
So if I either do it Friday or Monday, Friday of the first week or Monday of the second week, it should be okay.
Yeah.
You know, there might be one or two that I might miss, but it would be minimal. I mean, there's always that danger anyway of, you know, students who aren't in class or, you know.
Jackie.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, we'll always miss a few, but I think that'll be kind of the best we can do. Sorry, Tara, what were you going to say?
Jackie, you sent out an informed consent. Did you put it in Google Groups or did you send it by email? Do you remember?
I just sent it by email.
Okay.
On that note, I did get my official IRB approval yesterday.
Yay!
So we can all do the opinion survey, say, the first or second week of classes at some point just during class. Does that seem, does everyone seem okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're doing the informed consent with that.
I will probably actually do my informed consent before. We have an electronic informed consent that we collect in the class, so I will add a piece on about our study to that.
Because we kind of
collect data all the time anyway, so I'll just add a piece on about our study. I will do the informed consent, I think, and it goes on for like a week or two. And then I'll have the data from everyone, and I can just strip off the data from the kids that don't give consent.
Okay.
So that's how I'll handle my informed consent and my survey. What about the... Does anyone else have problems with informed consent, or...
Yeah, I was just curious what Tara and Jackie were going to do.
I was probably going to give mine out about the same time, but give them, you know, more than that day to do it if they wanted to.
I was going to do mine on the same time I do the survey. Although I don't actually know if I even need them. Because we have English teachers who tape students and put them up on YouTube and stuff without any consent, so they're not very... one about that. I'm going to do it, but I don't think my college is really going to care.
Okay. I was just curious because I hadn't thought exactly about the someone is going to do them at the same time or not.
But usually what I've done in the past is I send out my email that I got approved or whatever, and I attach the consent form to that so I can either, you know, print it off and bring it to me, and then I'll bring extra ones to class. Which is usually what I end up doing.
I could do it through Blackboard. Through email, yeah. Okay.
An idea. How many class, or like in a sense, how about how many students do each of you think you have about in that class, just so you have an idea?
I have 47 registered right now. So, actually, I didn't have that many drops in the fall, so, you know, everyone participates and, you know, 40 to 45 for me.
I have two sections of 25 each. If my stats 2 class gets canceled, then I'll have a third section with another 25.
I'm going to do this in the entire class through all the sections. So there's about 700 kids who enroll, and in the past with the informed consent, we've had somewhere between 300 and 400 who give consent. So I'll say somewhere between 300 and 400 for me.
I have two sections of 37 each right now. So.
Okay.
That means hopefully we'll have somewhere between like at least 300 to 400 student data hopefully to use.
I think so. I think with complete cases even, we should still have a decent number. I am actually not going to be teaching this course this semester. I'm going to be teaching a different course, so I am having the TAs implement all of this for me. I don't think it will be too difficult, though. Some of the questions will end up on an exam, so I'll be in charge. I'll be in charge of, you know, getting those on, and that won't be a problem. And then in terms of passing out the paper surveys in class, I think for the most part most of the TAs will cooperate. So we'll always have someone who kind of misunderstands instructions or doesn't do what they were supposed to do, but I think I'll still have fairly large sample sizes. So then what about the actual topic questions, the ones with the actual examples?
Yeah.
When will we be implementing those?
When I was sort of looking through my idea, I know we talked a little bit about in-class work versus tests and that type of idea. And I consider possibly doing all mine on quizzes or exams, but not the final. Because we talked before about, you know, finals are usually just not the best case scenario to begin with anyway, that it might not be the best time. So I'm only teaching a 50-minute class this time, so I'll have 3 tests before the finals. So I could do basically 2 either on or before each test is what I was looking at.
Did we decide which questions we were going to use? We talked about saving some of them for interviews. Did we decide which ones we were actually going to use in class?
I don't think we did. That was my next question. You know which one you wanted to use.
So I think I was looking at my schedule, and I think what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to end up asking one question on the first exam and then doing one question in class when we talk about hypothesis testing. So the one, like the topic that had the most language of hypothesis testing in it, or that they needed to understand the language of hypothesis testing in order to evaluate, was the tuition costs one. So that's one question that I would vote for doing in class, because that kind of fits nicely with my schedule so that I can still get 3 questions in. And that was a question where students on the pilot survey tended to have strong opinions. The other question with strong opinions, which we might then want to save for an interview, was the texting question. So my vote would be do tuition costs in class and save texting for interviews. Are there any objections or concerns with that?
So I guess I was overall thinking through it first. So do we want to give, since we kind of had 3 different sets, does that mean we want to do 3 separate ones for interviews and 3 in our actual classes? Do we want them all to be the same for each of us, or do we want to mix them up?
When you say mix them up, do you mean like some of us ask the tuition question, some of us ask the texting question?
Yes.
Or within our own institution, we do both types of examples?
The first one. I don't know if that matters if we all do the same questions in class and the same questions as interviews. Anyone have thought on that?
Well, I think whatever we choose, we're going to have a little bit of confounding. In one case, we're going to have confounding with the specific topic that we choose. Like if we all do the same thing in class, then we might have a little bit of confounding with that topic in that we won't have seen where answers different when we use the other topic. if some of us do one topic in class and the other ones do other topics in class, then we'll have some confounding with the institution because our students are likely not all the same. There's probably some demographic differences between the students. But I think neither one of those things is really kind of a deal breaker, and we just have to be cognizant of it.
I mean, I guess my personal feeling then would be that we should all do the same questions at our institution, so it's not that. And I think it'll make our lives easier when it comes to data analysis as well.
Yeah, that is what I was going to say. I mean, we've already got so much different between the colleges and all the different classes and how they're, you know, I think it'll just be easier if we're looking at the data. We're all doing the same question on the test in class, and then we all have the same interview question.
All right, then I have no problem with texting given the interview question.
Say it again.
And I have no issues with texting being our interview question.
I probably will have to do one question on the final exam, which I know, Jackie, you brought up some of the things we mentioned about how students tend to struggle on the final anyway. Part of me thinks that that might not be a terrible thing. It gives us a little bit of distance, and our finals are cumulative. You know, students are required to know exam one material, like they're required to know everything else throughout the course, so they should have studied that stuff for the final. But even if not, it might give us some idea of distance effects, you know, of time effects. The farther you get away from when they taught that material, do they have a hard time retaining that? But I think in terms of schedule, that might work the best. I kind of have two options, I guess. The questions, there were some questions that seemed to have a little bit more of like an experimental design flavor, but I think that was the texting ones, which are the other strong students tend to have strong opinions on. And we actually do our unit on designing experiments at the end of the semester after inference and everything. So I could do it as an in-class activity. I could take the texting example and do it as an in-class activity after we talk about experimental design. Because those ones, they're not really true experiments, though, but they tend to have a little bit more of an experimental flavor. I think more so than some of the other examples. The thing, my concern about that, though, was both the tuition cost one, which I want to use when we talk about inference, and the texting question were both ones where students tended to have strong opinions, and I wasn't sure if we were going to try targeting each of our types of questions, like one strong opinion, one neutral, and one kind of split. So I wasn't sure whether it was more important to avoid the final exam or to hit all three of our types of questions. My personal vote would be to hit all three of our types of questions so that I wouldn't ask the texting question in class. Because I would have already used the tuition one, which were both strong opinions. And then I was even thinking on the final, I could do a type of question where students tended to be split, so we would get some representation of the strong and some representation of the neutral in the beginning, with the final, which might kind of hedge our bets in terms of forgetfulness, too.
What were our questions?
What ones were the Mac and PC, and I think the medical marijuana one?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, I just I'll just say I kind of tend to agree that it would make sense to try to hit each of the types. even if it causes some problem with, I mean, it'll be up to you to decide, but even if it causes some problems with, in terms of the final exam, I just think it seems to tie in better with the overall purpose for your research if you're looking at all three types of questions. And I think the interviews would be pretty interesting, too, if you were able to get data from those three. So that's just kind of my impression of it. I actually have to, get going a couple of minutes here, so I'm going to sign off. And I think Felicity might be on a little bit later on. So.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. So my idea, if we say that, you know, we're definitely going to do the tuition cost one, which was a strong opinion question, then if I do a question on the final, I would either pick something where students tended to have neutral opinions or where they tended to be split in their opinion. And trying to take into account our hypothesis about when students are neutral, they'll do a better job of picking out the sampling. That's what we're hoping to see, that they'll do a better job of assessing the sampling methods. Our concern with implementing on the final was that students may have forgotten because the final is so far removed. You know, talking about sampling is the first topic, and then the final is the very last thing they do. So my idea was, in the worst-case scenario, if we did a neutral topic on the final and students forgot their principles of experimental design, or I'm sorry, of sampling, then it might, like, that might hinder our ability to detect our hypothesis. Whereas if I did a question that was split, some strong, some neutral, that might in some sense kind of hedge our bets and make it easier to support our hypothesis. That was kind of my logic for saying, for thinking if I had to do something on the final, I would probably do one of the questions with a split opinion. What do you guys think of that? Does that kind of make sense? Are you able to follow my logic? Did I explain that well enough?
To me, yeah.
So then under that logic, if I do the strong opinion question in the middle of the term and the split opinion question at the end of the term, I would do sort of a neutral question at the beginning of the term on exam one. So it would be either the food irradiation
or the luggage.
Yeah, or the luggage one.
We want one of those to be a possible interview question, though, too.
Yeah, I think we would pick one to do in class and then save the other for interview.
Should we figure out, first of all, which ones we want to do in class and which ones we want to do interviews with?
Other than tuition and texting, I don't think we have discussed that. So with the neutral questions, food irradiation versus airline luggage, does anyone have a preference? Which we do in class?
Well, initially I was going to say do the luggage as the interview question because I thought you might have more questions about that, but actually as I'm reading back at how we wrote them, I think actually we wrote them in a way that it's clearer than I originally remember. I was just thinking we should pick the one where students might, you know, have questions more at the interview question. Although, the point is we're not supposed to tell them along, really, with the interview questions. We should do a little bit more. You know, if a student doesn't know what irradiation, I can't say that word. Doesn't know what it means to irradiate. Okay, I can't say it. You know what I'm saying. you know, if they don't know what that means, if it's in an interview situation, we can explain that it's, even though it says in the question, it's supposed to be gamma rays, but that we can define that in an interview situation.
Right.
I mean, I guess then that makes me feel like an argument to keep it in class. I mean, I think when we gave the survey question, one of the things they said about that one is that they were more unfamiliar with that one.
Mm-hmm.
So if in an interview we make them more familiar, I don't know if it'll become neutral anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, were they neutral because they didn't understand what it meant, or were they neutral because they were just neutral, don't really have an opinion one way or another? But isn't that kind of the, I'm not sure that's the point of our interview question, but part of the point is to elucidate their thinking. And if we make that the interview question, we can figure out if the reason they're neutral on that question is because they don't understand the question or because they really don't have an opinion one way or another. So maybe they're judging the sample. I don't know. Does everybody understand my, follow my thinking there?
Yeah, I think I'd follow you. If because there are two possible explanations for why they're neutral on this one, and because there's a possibility that they might actually not be neutral once they learn what food irradiation is, we might be able to detect that better in an interview than we could in a class survey or, you know, in something that's just written.
But on the survey itself, they have the option to choose not familiar with the topic versus they really feel neutral.
Right.
And I think with something like exposing food to radiation, would we be more likely to influence them if we were explaining it?
Well, I think we could still leave... I think we could still leave the question written as it is, so we wouldn't have to do much additional verbal explanation, but we might be able to better assess from them if their opinions suddenly change on that. Because at the beginning of the semester, if they're similar to, if they have similar results with a pilot study, most of them will say, I'm not familiar with this topic. But once they learn what it is, I mean, we have to kind of explain what it is to some extent. Otherwise, they can't answer the question. So once they get some familiarity reading it, we might be able then to assess if all of a sudden, now that they understand what it is,
that
changes the strength of their opinion and then how that affects the context.
Okay. I was just thinking that, you know, what if you're not doing the interviews, for example, and somebody else is doing the interview and they feel strongly against the topic, that would come through in their body language when they were explaining it, which might influence the way the students respond.
Well, do they have to explain it, though? I mean, we have it written down, so wouldn't students just be reading the scenario?
But the reasoning was doing it in the interviews is that then they can ask questions and get more information.
How many people think that they're not going to be doing their own interviews? Was that a part, did anyone have to stipulate that in their IRB that they would have a third-party interviewer?
I didn't, but I still, the guy is supposed to get back to me next week. He had a couple clarification questions. I'm supposed to be here next week, so...
So that may still be, that may become a part of your IRB. Is that what you're saying?
It hasn't come up yet. He didn't say anything about it. So I'm assuming it's not an issue, but
yeah.
I don't know. My IRB makes me.
My IRB has been approved so that I can do the interviews, and I am actually not assigning these students grades, so there's really no conflict there at all. So I can do these interviews if I need to. Jackie, how about you, now that your IRB is finalized?
I'm trying to go back and reread it because I don't remember what if I put something down.
And Tara, it sounds like your institution is pretty informal, so you probably could conduct them as long as you're comfortable doing that.
I won't have any choice but to conduct them. Nobody's going to do them.
No one's going to do them. No one's going to offer to help you with this?
No.
Yeah. I would not leave, in my case, I would not leave interviews up to teaching assistants. So I will be, if we're going to do interviews, I will definitely be conducting them myself. I'll leave the, you know, stuff in class to the teaching assistants, but the interviews I would want to conduct myself.
I did not say anything about someone else interviewing them.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't start, mean to start a hornet's nest or anything. I didn't either way about, you know.
Well, I think it doesn't really feel like it's going to matter. If we did the irradiation one as the interview question, we could find out, at least if it does have an issue, we have the chance to elaborate.
And it could be very interesting if it really is, you know, once they become familiar with the topic, if they suddenly do become opinionated, does that then, they seem to have more of an issue than focusing on the sample or focusing on statistical issues?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd just be very interesting to see what kind of a path that then takes, if that does happen.
The other advantage to doing the luggage one in class is that we have four scenarios.
Yeah.
So it seems like we're saving the ones where we only have two scenarios more for the interviews.
People probably have a lot less of those.
Yeah, that's a good point. Smaller sample sizes. So we'll do then the luggage question in class and then save the irradiation for interviews. Couldn't remember what they were called for a second.
All right, then on the Mac PC one versus the medical marijuana one, do we have a preference on which one is the interview question?
Well, it does appear that we have four scenarios for the Mac versus PC, we just want to be very practical about it. We only have two written for the medical marijuana.
So we think the medical marijuana for interview?
Sounds good. I can never spell marijuana.
Marijuana is how I would say it to myself when I spell it.
Yeah. Is that what you remember?
Which one are we using for the texting?
Interview.
No, I know, but are we using... We had two different articles. Which one are we using?
I think we would try, if we can, to get some interviews with each.
Okay.
And that may be something where we won't all be able to do every scenario. We might then, since we probably won't have a large sample size for interviews, we might have to, each of us takes one of the different scenarios, something like that. You know, two of us do the good sampling article, two of us do the bad sampling article. And then we can always, you know, if we do this another semester, we can always switch the topics, like in terms of what we do in class and what we do in interview. And that might be an interesting follow-up, too. But I think this is a good place to start.
So when it comes to the in-class ones that we're looking at doing... since the tuition one does have a much more statistical significant hypothesis testing type language,
right?
That one, in at least my class, couldn't be the earliest that one could be is test two. Do we all want to have the same question on the final? That way we're doing, like, we all want to do the Mac versus PC one, or we want to do either the tuition or Mac and PC one? We said something about the luggage one being earlier.
Does everybody have cumulative finals?
Yeah.
I think it might be interesting then if some people did do it on their final. So my one concern with doing it after hypothesis testing is I wonder if they're going to be too much caught up in the significance aspect of it, the p-value aspect of it, and not able to filter out the sampling aspect. I can only introduce it then because they wouldn't understand significant, not significant before then. Although I might actually be able to do this on my test too, either in class or my test too. It's just the idea that they've had the material to understand the term significant. But I actually wonder if that language might distract them, and then they start thinking about significance instead of sampling, which I think still would be an interesting result. In terms, because to some extent we want to know what is it that attracts them to the question, and we'll still know, is it something that's statistical or is it something that's contextual? But maybe if some people did that on a cumulative final, they might be thinking more about the sampling thing. Although that one tended to be something with strong opinions, right? So, I don't know. I'm talking out loud at this point. I'm just going to warn you all. Again, I wonder then if we do something with strong opinions on the final, our research hypothesis is that students with strong opinions will be distracted by contextual factors. And if we do something with strong opinions and put it on the final exam, if we find that students are distracted, it could provide evidence for our hypothesis. Or it could provide evidence for our other kind of suspicion that students have forgotten the statistical information by the time the final rolls around and therefore might default to contextual information just to write something down. So I wonder then, again, if we're better off doing the question where students are of split opinion on the final because we get both the split camp and the neutral camp represented. So the people who forget will kind of be hopefully mixed between those camps. And it, like I said before, to some extent, it kind of hedges our bets in terms of being able to support our research hypothesis without it being completely confounded with our other suspicion that students may have forgotten the sampling material by the time the final rolls around. I mean, in theory, they should all be studying it because we all have cumulative finals, but we all know that they tend to focus on the most recent material and the harder material, which is the inference stuff, not the sampling stuff, which they learned in week one. So I would still kind of vote for maybe putting the split question, which would be the Mac versus PC, on the final exam. So the way it looks like my schedule is going to work out all together. Sometime after the add date, between week one and week two, the students will be doing informed consent online, which is how we do it in our course. And then the second week of class, we talk about data collection, and we always did a survey that week anyway, so I'm going to add the opinion survey onto that. So the opinion survey will be taken week two in class. Then my first research question will be administered on the first midterm in early February. My second research question will be administered either in class or on the second midterm, which is going to be end of February, early March. So my first question is going to be the luggage question, which was the neutral question. My second question is going to be the tuition question, which was a strong question. And then my third question will be on the final, which will be the Mac PC, which was the split opinion question. So that's, I think, how I'll be doing it, based on everything we have discussed today.
Okay. All right, so then next question, is everybody good approximately with that schedule? We have questions?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone adapt that to their own?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of interviews, has everyone thought about where that's going to fit in, how they're going to pick students out, et cetera, et cetera? That'll fit into the semester.
Would we want to try and target the interview questions to coincide roughly with when we ask the same types of questions in class? So, like, when we ask the neutral question on luggage in class, we try and have the interview question about food irradiation around the same point in the semester?
That's going to be a problem with the finals, then. How many students are going to be there around final time?
Yeah.
We could do it. Yeah, it could be. We always do our final early, so some students might still be around and might be willing to do it. We might be able to get some students at the beginning of the next semester. It would definitely be less. But I think we're going to have small sample sizes for the interviews anyway. And I think when it comes down to these interviews, even having, you know, sometimes having one or two transcripts could actually show something interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking we're going to have such a small sample size that we would ask all three questions of each interview subject. I wasn't thinking that we'd have a group of subjects for one question and then a separate group of subjects for the second question and then a separate group of subjects for the third question.
Okay. That would be reasonable, too. So to have basically one interview session and ask everything at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not all the students in the room at the same time, but for each student, there would just be one interview session where they would be asked all three.
Well, maybe not all three, because I think that might be a little excessive, but maybe two of the three, or I don't know, I'm just thinking that after a while it does become a little repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Were you imagining these as group interviews or one-on-one interviews? Multiple students or just a single student?
I was thinking a single student. I hadn't really, I don't know, because I did single students for my previous interview stuff for my dissertation, but I just really hadn't even thought about a group interview.
I think I was imagining single interviews too, like one-on-one interviews.
I don't know. I've never done group interviews. I don't know if that dynamic is different.
Well, I think the risk with a group interview would always be that you'd kind of have one dominant student anyway take over, and so you wouldn't really gain anything from the additional N. So it might make more sense to do individual interviews. I don't know, though, if anyone had thought about it another way.
Well, I think, too, in this age group, there's still the, kind of an extension to what you're talking about, Herlin, there's still likely if one student has a strong opinion, the others are sort of more likely to meld their opinion to that one strongly opinionated student. Whereas if it's one-on-one, they're more likely to be a little bit more Yeah. About their opinions about texting or legalizing medical marijuana.
Jack here, Tara, do you have an opinion on this?
I'd rather do one-on-one.
Yeah, I was definitely one-on-one, too. I don't want one student taking over or people just to change their mind because someone said something.
Right. So one-on-one is the way to go. Then do we do... How do you guys feel about kind of three separate interviews versus one longer interview with either two or three of the scenarios?
I think if we do the longer one, we'll have a better chance of getting rid of our time effect of whatever you want to say it is, that we're, since we're all doing the same type of pattern in class.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Otherwise, if we're comparing like the luggage question to the irradiation question, they're both kind of given at the same time, and we still have the whole time while we just talked about it, that might be why they're better at questioning the sampling method. Versus if we do the irradiation question, like I was saying, I'm thinking like, you know, the month of April probably like a good time for me because I would have been through all the hypothesis testing, at least, you know, the basics of it for them. That then we could really see if they're going to question the sample or if they're going to beg me for a p-value that I didn't give them or,
right.
You know.
So you would vote for a longer interview then?
Yes.
Okay. And I think actually the thing, the point you raised about time is a good point. So then when would be a good time? You mentioned like April, so more towards the end of the semester. Does that seem like a reasonable time for everyone? Should some of us do it towards the end of the semester and some of us do it towards the beginning, like after the sampling? Because the one that was the complement to the tuitions cost question, the texting one, I don't think it had too much of the language of hypothesis testing in it, so you might still be able to get away with that early in the term. That way, again, we kind of... We have some of it when all of the sampling stuff is fresh in their mind, and we have some of it when it's a little bit later in the term and they've got a little bit more jumbling around in there.
That is an interesting point.
I'm concerned about doing them at the end because we live in a tourist area and all of our students go to work at the parks as soon as the semester ends. And I don't know how many students I'm going to be able to have come back after, because our finals are late in May. I don't know how many students I'll be able to have. If I do it in the middle of the semester or the beginning, I'm certain I'd have more people who would be willing to be interviewed.
If I were to try and do interviews shortly after the time we talk about data collection, that would really be, you know, end of January, early February, which would certainly be possible. So I could do interviews early. I could basically do – I think if we're going to do one long interview, we can really just pick any point during the semester. As long as it's after we've discussed the sampling information, which I think for all of us is week one. So any point after week one in the term, we could do these interviews.
Not me.
Hmm?
I don't do sampling until the third week.
That's right. I remember because you used the Gunderson-Aliaga book. Or
yeah.
Aliaga-Gunderson. So you do it a little later. So you would need to do it a little bit later in the term, but I think as long as it's after the sampling material. we would be okay. So do you think we should, do you think it's important that we all shoot for a similar time point in the semester, or should we just kind of fit it in when we can fit it in?
I think we did a pretty good job trying to get timing on the assessment questions. Same. I think, I don't know, I think we can just try to fit it in when we can fit it in. And I think your point about trying to get it in after the sampling is a good point, but
yeah.
I think that is all going to be different, because actually sampling for me is a little bit, because I'm using the DeVoe book, that's a little bit later, the sections. That's more toward, you know, second, third of the class.
I might try and do mine early in the term, then. I might try and get mine in. So we start early. We start next week, and we start right away with data collection and surveys, which I think is mainly what they'll need to answer the questions or to understand the questions. And I might try and get it early so you can make the argument that if there were ever a time they were going to rely on the sampling information, it would be early. Like, I won't do it right after, so maybe I'll wait. Maybe I'll try and do it, like, first week in February or something. But before we've introduced hypothesis testing and all of that really hard material, and see what happens. And it might be interesting if some people do get it a little bit later in the term and we can kind of look at how their answers are influenced by how much other stuff they've been thinking about in the meantime. So I will probably shoot for my interviews early February. And then we're getting to clients about 5 of 12 now. And I am going to have to get going right at 12 today. So we know generally which questions we're doing in interviews, but like I said, depending on sample sizes, we may have to split up those various scenarios for each topic. So I don't know if people have a strong opinion on which scenario they do or not. I may just go through and kind of flip a coin and decide in this interview I'm doing this scenario and that sort of thing. And then we can all pick based on that. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Since I kind of have the biggest sample sizes, I will try to get enough students where I could have one student for each scenario. I won't be able to do every possible permutation, I don't think, or every possible combination between the two different scenarios for each of the three topics. But I'll try and get more. I have no idea how many students will volunteer for stuff like this. The way I'm going to select students, I'll randomly select from the list of students who consented to participate and send them an email inviting them. I think in the IRB I said that a gift card would be offered as a reward, so I'll have, a random drawing for a gift card or something like that. So I'm hoping that will entice students to participate, but I still don't know how many people will bother responding. I would imagine it's going to be a relatively small number, though. Now, do you think we should do, should we try and ask all three scenarios, or should we only try and ask two? Should we maybe try and, that, again, I'm thinking out loud here, that might be a decision we can make sort of in interview. If it's going well and it's going fairly quickly, we can do all three scenarios. And then if we find it's kind of dragging on or the students, not really paying attention anymore, we might need to cut it short and do two. Does that seem reasonable? I know statistically that's not the most rigorous design, but it might be the most practical in terms of actual implementation.
Yeah, I was just thinking that if the question, fluoridation is sort of an experimental, hold on. Okay, and the texting. Actually, the questions are different enough that students might not think that they're being asked the same question.
Right. So it's not like students will kind of catch on to our game and start tailoring their response.
I was thinking it's just if we ask all three, they might be like, okay, why are you asking me the same thing over and over and over again? But actually, I think the questions that we picked are different enough.
So try for all three?
Yeah, I actually think we should try for all three. And, I mean, we are going to get, I know from my dissertation that, you know, there are just going to be some students who are like, you know, give you, like, two sentences as an answer and trying to get them to talk is difficult. So it takes a little bit of prodding to get them to open up and talk more, explain their thinking.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, maybe by the time you get to the third question, they're feeling a little bit more comfortable and talking a little bit more.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then I will start by asking all three questions, and I will randomly pick some various permutations, or I guess it would technically be combinations of the different scenarios within the three topics. And I will let you all know how that goes. Does anyone else think they're going to try and tackle interviews early in the term, or?
I'm going to do mine around midterm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the earliest for me will be probably late February, early March-ish, sort of mid-semester for me.
Well, if I'm the first one, then I'll let y'all know how it goes. Although, Lee, I may email you to get some interview tips because I've never done them before. I think you're the only one of us that has conducted student interviews. Jackie, have you ever done it?
No.
Yeah. So maybe you should have a webinar on things to avoid in an interview.
I might be an expert, trust me. But yeah, the one thing I remember from the first time I did it is I listened to the recording of it. Because I was amazed at how much I, like, cut people off. You really have to kind of force yourself to be quiet. Like, after you ask a question, let them talk. Sometimes it takes them a while to gear up and say what they think. You have to really be patient and not try to finish their sentence for them. And this may just be me. Finish their sentence for them or try to put it in your, explain their thinking for them if they look like they're struggling, or try to put it in your words or help them out. You really, really have to. It's very hard. You have to be very patient and, like, push yourself to be quiet.
That'll probably be hard for me, too.
And I didn't realize I was doing it until I listened to the first recording of one of my... I was like, wow, I kept cutting that person off. Yeah, I got to really stop that. So.
All right. I'm going to have to get going shortly here. Jackie, I wanted to ask you, the doodle thing that you sent out, was that to try and set up a general time for, say, like, the rest of the term, a time that works for all of us?
Yeah, I see with our new schedules and stuff about when.
Yeah. Do you think we should also... I think... You only sent it to the four of us. Should we also send it to the RAB members?
Well, the only problem is right now with everything I sent to you, there's only one time that all four of us matched up on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
Well, maybe we should send an email to the RAB members and see if that would work. I'm not actually online, so what was the winning time?
I believe it was
Tuesday at 4?
Yep.
Yeah. Although I will admit, I didn't say Thursday at 3 or Thursday at 4 because there's another grant meeting that's starting to be scheduled on some Thursdays. There are other Thursdays that will be available. And the rest of you said you were available, so like Thursday at 2, 3, and 4.
Wouldn't it be every Thursday for you?
Yeah, it wouldn't be every Thursday. So there'll be some Thursdays that
So should we send that both those times and the RAB to see if there's a time that we can catch them, and then we can always schedule which Thursday around when you have your other meeting?
Yeah. So, 'cause I didn't realize there's only going to be one time that popped up for everybody.
Well, of course, since I started, I only put out times that I knew I could be there, so.
So then, well, for our next call, do we want to try just that Tuesday slot, Tuesday at 4, sometime in February?
Do we want to maybe, do we want to wait that long?
We have abstracts due February 1st.
The registration system for USCOTS is a little funky right now, so we might have a little flexibility on that, just, you know, from the inside source here. But, yeah, it may or may not be due February 1st.
JSM is due February 1st, though, right?
Right, and we definitely want to get JSM in. Well, can we look at that via email? Where is the most recent version? Is the most recent version on Google Docs? I know I drafted something. Can't remember what I did with it.
I thought you sent it out by email.
Okay. I will take a look at that. I won't be able to get to this right away, but hopefully I will have some downtime while I'm at this conference or at this workshop. So I will look for whatever the current version of the abstract is.
I'll send them out with the synopsis. I'm going to send the synopsis out today. I'll just find them in my email and send them.
All right, that would be awesome. And then we can look at those via email, and we can vote on them via email. And does anyone know, are they going to attend yes, no, maybe for JSM in August?
I'm planning on it.
Okay. Tara, are you? You have other classes that you're taking over the summer, right?
But they finish before, because all the Texas A&M people go to JSM, so they finish.
Okay.
I have to pay for it myself, so I need to see if we can work it out. My college has cut our. We're only allowed $600 a year for travel.
Right. Joan might have some available through the Catalyst Grant too. I think she did for last JSM. So she might have some for this, at least as an option. How about you, Jackie? You're not going to have a baby this JSM, are you?
No, mine will still be a maybe until I know if I get the funding from the department.
Yeah. I will be going. I should be going, but I might be doing another panel again. That might mean that Lee is the most likely participant. Lee, you are the face of our cluster.
I don't know that that's a good thing.
I might be doing the computational statistics does their little data thing. I might have a poster on that. You can do both, right?
I think a poster and a presentation you're fine. Talks, though, like they actually have a one-talk rule. So I think I'm going to be presenting some of my research that I've done on clickers in a session with Jennifer Kaplan. She was pointing out that I was one of the few people who has actually done quantitative research on clickers, so she's really hoping that I don't back out. But I told her I had to check with you guys first. But since it seems like we will be there, then I think we'll be okay. And she also pointed out if worse comes to worse and something were to happen, I could step in at the last minute if our question is accepted. But I just can't plan on doing both in advance. JSM won't allow that. The rules won't allow that. But
I'll be on the beach in August. I'm sure that won't be hot at all. Okay, so not to speed things up here, but not really, you gotta go. So we're thinking Tuesday at 4, I think February. Do we want to try for February 1st? Do we want to try January 25th? Do we want to go further out than that? February 8th?
Do we want to do two meetings in February? Do we want to do one early in February to get the lit review stuff that we didn't get done today started, and then do one after we all have our initial set of data?
Reasonable.
Yeah, I think that sounds reasonable. I would vote for our next meeting being the first week of February because I am doing an NSF panel. I'm reviewing grant proposals the last week in January, so I don't think I'll really be able to get much else done.
Okay.
After February 1st, I should have plenty of time. So, well, I guess February 1st is that Tuesday, so February 1st at 4 p.m., is that a good time for everyone?
Well, yeah, and since that's the day that the abstracts are due, if they have any last-minute panic attacks, we can deal with those at 4 o'clock.
Sounds good.
All right.
But I will. So if Tara sends out the abstracts via email with the synopsis, we can all just kind of vote yay or nay. Or I'll assume if you are okay with them, that's fine. If you have a suggestion, then email me, and I'll go ahead and at least once I get everyone's approval, I'll give everyone a heads up and say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and submit this. So hopefully we'll have it done before the first, because I don't want to have to leave it to the last minute just in case something happens with computers or whatever.
We had to modify the ESCOTS one because we didn't address the theme.
Yeah, I think we were good with the DSM one. And the ESCOTS one's good, too. We just thought maybe we might want to make it more theme happy.
All right, well, we will deal with that. I think we can deal with that via email. I wrote the initial draft, but I am in no way possessive of these, so if anyone wants to try and tackle it and rewrite it, I'm fine with that. Or if you would rather just send me suggestions and have me rewrite it, I'm fine with that too.
Okay.
All
right. I'll send out a synopsis today. So.
Cool. Thank you, Sarah. And I will be checking email while I'm gone, so I may be slow to respond, but I will be checking. So.
Well, safe travels.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and end our recording now.
One last question. I don't know if any of you have the answer to it. Do you know when we have to be there for you?
Thank you. Please stand by.